Today, property markets slide into summer. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, now this post covering finance and property news. Could it be that the momentum in the property market is taking an early bath as we slide into summer? Well, certainly, according to the AFR, the diminishing prospects of an interest rate cut anytime soon have dampened buyers' spirits and caused the auction clearance rate to slip below 70% as the end of the selling season draws closer. They say just shy of 3,000 auctions were held across the country last week, an uncommonly high number compared to previous years, but the national rate of homes being sold at auction slipped by 1.2%, according to data from Cotality. Domain also confirms the trends, although, as we've highlighted before, there are inconsistencies in terms of what is included in the specific regions, and the reporting is only of those declared by the agencies sold. For an insight on this, it's worth looking at the graph that Tarek Brooker produces, because he tracks the four-week moving average comparing 2024 with 2025 based on sold to listed clearance rates. And yes, while things were hotter from July onwards, that trend is certainly reversing now. 69.2% rate was the first time clearances have fallen below 70% in 5 months. That was still higher than the same time last year, but weaker than experts expected, especially for Sydney. More consumers are thinking that there may not be another rate cut, at least for a while, yet the inflationary pressures have rebounded, Cotality's research director Tim Lawless said. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a bit of a dent in confidence, as well as the next property market update from Westpac. Melbourne's clearance rate of 69.7% was again higher than Sydney's 68.5%, which Lawless said was because the Victorian capital is more affordable than other cities. Sidebar, prices have hardly gone up at all down there over the last few years. Cotality's October home values report showed Melbourne's property growth was just 0.9%, and that was higher than Sydney, 0.7%. But if you go back further, of course, it's a different story. I think over the medium term, there'll be a real advantage for the Melbourne marketplace at a time of such stretched affordability, Lawless said. Of the medium-sized capitals, Adelaide recorded the highest clearance rate at 72.6%, while Brisbane recorded 68.4%, Canberra 67.8%, and Perth 58.3%, according to Cotality. All, of course, on very small counts and, so frankly, relatively meaningless. Lawless still expects the coming weeks to have the highest number of auctions since March 2024 as the market hits its spring season peak before starting to drop off before Christmas. The spring selling season is coming to a crescendo as it's moving to early summer, but also it probably does reflect the fact that it's very much a seller's market, Lawless said. Now, SQM Research founder Louis Christopher said, while Melbourne's property market was enticing more investors due to better affordability, the state's high property taxes meant value might not be as good as it seems. Melbourne's median home price is around $820,000, compared to Sydney's $1.26 million, Brisbane's $1 million, Perth and Canberra's $880,000 and Adelaide's $870,000. Property taxes are now certainly higher in Victoria than what they are in New South Wales and indeed any other state. And the Melbourne housing market's been underperforming for some time because of that reason, Christopher said. It could be a value trap. I can't see any rationale to go in there while you've got those very high holding and transaction costs. Brisbane's auction rate dropped by 14.3% from the previous week, but bidder turnout was strong as buyers can get more for their money compared to other states. and the 2032 Olympic Games are boosting confidence, the AFR said. Now, we should also note that the federal government will launch a final 21,000 home tender backed by the $10 billion Housing Australia Future Fund in January, but amid criticisms that Labor's signature social and affordable housing programme is falling behind due to poor execution and governance issues. The third round is the biggest so far in a national ambition to deliver 40,000 social and affordable homes within 5 years, and their development backed by support from the $10 billion National Housing Fund. Taking into account other programs, the target actually is for 55,000 social and affordable homes in total, but dogged by criticism over its slow rollout and the governance style of the outgoing Housing Australia chair, Carol Austin, an audit into the effectiveness of the $10 billion fund by the Australian Audit Office was announced last month. Housing Minister Claire O'Neill said the third round would be critical to the programme meeting its goal by the middle of 2029. We've got 21,000 homes funded and ready to basically make contract decisions about. It's just a big volume of homes, but it's also the last shoe to drop in us delivering on our commitment of building 55,000 social and affordable homes, O'Neill told the AFR. It takes just over a year to build a detached home and 3 years to build an apartment, a run rate which is concerning for the government, O'Neill said, while noting the pace of building is now picking up, well, just a little at least. That's why this decision is so important. If we want those homes built by the middle of 2029, we've got to provision funding now and make funding decisions in the first part of next year and get those homes under construction to get them done by 2029, she said. So far, the HAF has completed 889 homes with another 9,501 under construction, quote unquote. It is hoped that rollout will accelerate through the final round with a more streamlined process, directly targeting developers willing to build 300 plus home apartment blocks and smaller scale projects in regional areas. We're trying to deliver big gutsy programs here, and it takes too long to build a house in Australia, and it's too expensive and too difficult, O'Neill said. Officials administering the $10 billion housing fund told a Senate estimates hearing this month that roughly a third of those 889 homes so far delivered to community housing providers were actually turnkey homes purchased from private developers, so they're effectively nicking them from first-time buyers. That revelation prompted Liberal Senator Andrew Bragg to accuse the government of depriving ordinary buyers as a result. Labour, of course, disputes that assessment. According to industry insiders, alleged bullying, intimidation, and risk-averse tactics by Austin undermine the organisation's effectiveness in running the government's flagship fund to deliver affordable homes. In the third round, some funding will be allocated to the development of projects with a minimum of 300 homes, mostly in city areas and smaller scale developments. In regional areas, roughly half will be classed as affordable homes, and the other half will be social housing. The dwellings are designed to be used as rental homes for key workers and social housing units for low-income Australians. The final round will also include provisions for Indigenous residents, with $600 million in the funding to be dedicated to partnerships with Indigenous housing organisations, and there will be a 10% Indigenous tenancy target. The HAF, of course, was set up in late 2023 as the first national project in decades to tackle the shortage of social and affordable housing by promising to build 40,000 more homes by the middle of 2029. Treasury officials told this month's Senate estimates hearing that the HAF model represented a cost-effective way of enabling the development and delivery of social and affordable housing. We've basically found a way to make this work for institutional investors, because HAF is a 25-year funding stream for super funds and others who like that kind of style of return. This has suddenly opened up a pathway for them to invest in housing in our country, which is something that the country desperately needs, O'Neill said. Interesting. So effectively, this is allowing international investors to invest in housing in Australia and make a return. I wonder what that return will be. Oh, and of course they get tax breaks too. Now, we know that the Housing Australia Future Fund will be audited following criticisms that it's behind schedule to deliver those 40,000 social and affordable homes. Treasurer's effectiveness in delivering and designing the Housing Australia Future Fund will also be probed by the Australian National Audit Office. Auditor General Carolee McLeish announced the 9-month audit was underway recently. The objective of the audit is to assess the effectiveness of the Department of the Treasury's design and delivery of the HASH, McLeish said in a letter to Coalition Housing spokesman Andrew Bragg, who has been pushing for an audit. The Australian National Audit Office will examine if Treasury effectively designed the HAF and if it's established effective delivery arrangements. Federal and state governments have set this ambitious goal for 1.2 million new homes to be built by the private sector and governments over 5 years to help make housing more affordable, but it's unlikely that they're going to achieve that, of course. And frankly, this whole concept of building more supply rather than thinking about demand is, well, short-sighted. It's interesting that recently the heads of the biggest banks in Australia, Commonwealth and Westpac, were really quite critical about the whole migration program and how that is running at the moment. And it's worth highlighting, of course, there's certain sensitivities here. After Commons' appearance, the Commonwealth Bank clarified he was speaking specifically about Australia's permanent migration intake, which for the current financial year has been set at 185,000. Increasing supply was also key to improving housing affordability, Commons said, but noted there were barriers to doing so. And just while we're rounding out the latest housing debate, I want to highlight that in Victoria, there are some moves with regard to property underquoting issues, which is rampant in Victoria. The new laws set to be introduced into Parliament next year will require agents to publish the owner's reserve price at least 7 days before auction day or fixed date sale. If agents fail to publish a reserve price, the property will not be legally able to be offered for sale. And there's a quote here, the tragic thing about underquoting is that it is often young first home buyers that are the victims of underquoting who are about to make the biggest financial decisions of their lives. And we think this will go a long way to help stamping it out. This is a massive reform. It's nation leading. And of course, underquoting is also rife in New South Wales. And this article here highlights the fact that a considerable number of properties recently are actually underquoted. Houses in Alexandria were sold for 10% or more above their listed price 86% of the time, according to unpublished data from Homer App. In Camperdown, the rate was 83%, followed by Marrickville, 76%, and Stanmore, 71%. This is based on quite a detailed piece of analysis that's been done. And again, Fair Trading Minister for New South Wales had previously said that stronger underquoting laws are needed to restore trust and to improve transparency. Now, my observation here is this is very much a question of policing rather than anything else, because it's not about just having the laws. It's about making sure that they're being complied with. And that is the big failure, both in Victoria and New South Wales. And as I've discussed with Edwin on several occasions, underquoting is a big deal. And it is really wrecking the market at the moment, which is one reason, by the way, why some people refuse now to consider going to auctions. And just while we're talking about the various developments in the market, this is worth thinking about too, because yes, once again, another article on the systemic problems with the New South Wales purchase home inspection regime, which has plagued inadequate reports, real estate agents' manipulation, and the lack of proper qualifications or standards of inspectors. Those shortfalls, this article says, can lead to buyers being stuck with defective homes that are, at the worst, unlivable. This is a big deal, of course, as well, again, as Edwin and I have been speaking, and it is a very important factor to think about if you're going to buy. Make sure you actually know what you're buying. Get an independent report. Now, as I've argued recently, these various initiatives from government will not really help housing affordability and may actually lift prices, putting property more out of reach for many. I discussed this in detail with Leith Van Onselen on my Tuesday live stream, so check that out. The links are below. Meantime, we'll have to wait and see whether the downturn in auction clearances will have any meaningful impact on the trajectory of home prices, given the high demand from investors competing with first-time buyer cohorts. We suspect property in the lower to middle price bands will stand firm, though more expensive property may well ease back, I guess. We will have to just wait and see. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.